Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We have a very exciting guest today. You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our guest today is Deborah Behrens, Executive Director of the Prairie Enthusiasts. Now, you're going to think to yourselves, the Prairie Enthusiasts, just what is that? Deborah, welcome to Around Town. You want to tell folks about Prairie Enthusiasts?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. I'm glad to be here. So the Prairie Enthusiasts, we are exactly what the name says. We are enthusiastic about remnant prairie in the upper Midwest. So what is remnant prairie is usually the first question that we get. Remnant prairie is prairie that has not been plowed. It's prairie that has not been developed. It is incredibly threatened. We have today less than 1% of the original prairie that was here when European settlers came to the area, but there is still some of it. And we strive to protect that and care for it and ensure that it is with us in perpetuity.
So if someone has a parcel of land that says, gee, I want to save this land for the next generation, what do they do?
So they can contact us. I would encourage you first to go to the Prairie Enthusiasts website. We are an accredited land trust, so we have a rigorous process that we have to go through to ensure that we're a well-run, responsible land trust. But people who maybe have some land and they're thinking about protecting it in perpetuity can visit our website at theprairieenthusiasts.org. You can also call our office. The number at our office is 608-676-0985. We are headquartered in Wisconsin in the small town of Viroqua because it's the center of our region. We actually have 11 local chapters that are doing work in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. So we work with landowners throughout that region who have some really high quality conservation value land.
And when this land is donated, you didn't have volunteers work the land for you and help out?
We do. Thank you for asking that question. We're actually really a grassroots organization. So our history from the mid-70s was small groups of prairie enthusiasts in their local communities who were finding one another. And we didn't form as a nonprofit until the mid-80s and did that because we wanted to be able to own and protect land that we had been caring for. So these local volunteers find sites that are threatened, endangered ecosystems, and they get on the ground and they're working on it. So we have a lot of work to do protecting that land from invasive species. We do prescribed burning on our properties. We're returning fire to the land and caring for it the way that indigenous people have for time immemorial. And that really requires a huge volunteer effort. So
that sounds like it, yes. And it sounds like once it's completed, or I should ask, how long does it take to go through the whole cycle of getting it back to where it originally was?
The answer to that is that we don't know. So The Prairie Enthusiasts is proud to steward almost 4,000 acres of land throughout the upper Midwest that, again, is that really high-quality land. But we've only been doing this work of restoration since the mid-70s. About 150, 175 years ago when the first European settlers came, there was a vast prairie network that was here on the land, and much of that was turned under the plow. But it took thousands of years for those systems to form. So we're seeking out what are those areas that were not destroyed by development and the pressures of agriculture. We're protecting those, and then we're seeking to restore the land around it so that there's a buffer. We're doing native plantings. We're restoring that land to what it would have been at the time of European settlement. But how long does it take to restore a system that took thousands of years to build? We don't know. We take the long view. We look back to what the land was in historic time, and when we look forward 1,000 years, when we think about how we want to restore that land and protect it for future generations.
Deborah, tell us about the habitat on these parcels.
Yeah, it's incredibly diverse. So these are the most biodiverse systems in the upper Midwest. I think we think a lot about protecting the planet, and we think about the rainforest, and we think about trees. But actually, prairies, which is a treeless system, are among the most biodiverse systems on the planet. And many of them harbor insects and wildlife that depend on that diversity of the prairie in order to survive. So when we think about saving the planet, we can look a lot closer to home. And that's one of the things that I really want to get that message out to your listeners, Ron, that we are looking for people who have hands and are willing to pitch in helping to care for these places. If you're concerned about climate change, if you're concerned about some of the, you know, really hot weather we experienced this summer, some of the flooding that many of our communities are facing, caring for these places is one way that we can take real action where we live to mitigate some of the effects of climate change.
So once you have a parcel that's been donated to Prairie Enthusiast, do you then set it up where people have like walking trails and things like that?
We do, but the answer is that it depends. So we're working with landowners often who may donate their land or who are seeking to protect it, and sometimes we have to raise money in order to do that protection. But we're first working with the landowner who has loved the land, and they often have specific ideas about how they'd like to see that land cared for in perpetuity. So we're going to, some sites, we just have an easement and the landowner is actually still living there, but we're doing some management on their land to ensure that that remnant prairie is cared for. And those lands are not always open to the public. Other sites that we have are open to the public, and we do install trails. Some of them allow hunting. You can go to our website, theprairieenthusiast.org, and click on a link to learn more about each of our sites, where they're located, and exactly what activities are allowed.
That's great. The thing I think that people often wonder about is that when you have this land and you go back several hundred years, there has to be parcels of this land or these lands that have endangered species on them.
Mm-hmm. Many of our sites do have endangered species. If you go to our website to learn more about that, we're not necessarily going to publish that information about exactly what's there. And the reason why is that, sadly, there are people who will show up at the site and try to dig up those endangered plants, or they will capture some of the reptiles, the snakes, the frogs that may be endangered in that system, and sometimes sell them for profit, and it's just a really sad situation.
How sad is that?
Yeah, we don't often publicize when we do have endangered or threatened species on our sites, but I would encourage people to go visit the prairie and experience the diversity that's there, and I can guarantee you will see things that you did not realize were part of the land where we've made our home here in the upper Midwest.
I think people would be amazed, too, to find out that there's a lot of prairies that have sand and cactus. And you would think cactus in Wisconsin or Illinois, that doesn't make sense, but it's there.
Yeah. So I'm nodding my head for your listeners, Ron, because myself, you know, I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up in Minnesota. I live now in Wisconsin. And I was shocked to see my first cactus on the prairie, on a sand prairie. But yeah, they're there. And often they're tucked away in some rocky, sandy environments where they're hanging on. And actually, you know, we talk a lot about returning prescribed burning to the prairie. And the cactus don't always respond well to burning. So
I would think so.
Yeah, they're hanging out on the rocky cliffs where often the fire couldn't get. But yeah, it's really fun to see a cactus right here in the upper Midwest.
You know, controlled burning, you hear stories out west where sometimes it got out of hand. Mm-hmm. How do you control the controlled burning that it doesn't get out of hand?
So the most important thing to understand is that we provide a lot of training for prescribed burns. We have a pretty rigorous prescribed burn policy for the organization that we follow, and safety is the number one guideline. So we offer online burn school training. We do that through our annual conference, which takes place in February each year. And some of our chapters also host some online prescribed burn training. We do in-person burn training as well. Anyone who does an online school needs to come and do some in-person training so that they understand how to use the tools. And we have a process then of apprenticeship. We have many volunteers who are running our prescribed burns who have decades of experience with burning. There are a lot of former DNR employees who have done this, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service employees who have done this work professionally, who then volunteer in retirement or volunteer outside of their working hours to help us run these burns. But anyone can learn to burn. I've learned to burn as a novice, and it is a thrilling adventure.
I thought you were going to say it was scary.
It is. It can be a little bit scary, but it really is controlled and safe, and you're working with people who know what they're doing, and you need to do what you're told. You need to have your training. You need to understand how to use the tools, and there is this whole apprenticeship process that we move people through so that we're not going to give anyone duties in a prescribed burn that they're not well-trained and prepared to take on.
What do you consider healthy soils, Deborah?
We consider healthy soil to be intact soil. For the work that we do, it's very different from sustainable agriculture, for example. We're really looking at retaining soil that has been in place for thousands of years. These are ancient soils. And we view healthy soil as being soil that is intact. It's a remnant soil system. It's irreplaceable and it's incredibly rare. So what we do at the Prairie Enthusiasts is we leave that soil intact. We use prescribed burning during the winter and the spring seasons. And then, the fall and the spring seasons, we do prescribed burning. And we may overseed in a system that we're trying to establish prairie, but we're not tilling the soil. We're leaving those systems in place. And the reason why is that prairies, there's what you see above the ground, but there's this vast network of life beneath the soil surface. Prairie roots are incredibly deep. Some of them, 6 feet deep, and they're interconnected. And there are a lot of ways that those prairie plants are interacting with one another that we don't fully understand. So
when you burn, you're actually allowing the dormant items under the sand or the ground to come back up again.
Yeah, those plants are still alive.
We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we're talking with Deborah Behrens, the Executive Director of the Prairie Enthusiast. And it's got some really interesting facts about land and what you can do if you have property available that you'd like to donate. You could certainly contact Deborah, and they'd be happy to take a look at it. Deborah, how about the culture and the significance of the land with the Native Americans and things like that? Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, I can from my vantage point as a white Midwestern girl whose family came as immigrants to this country and settled in Minnesota where we were farmers. And we have a painful history of relationship with the indigenous people who were here when my ancestors arrived. It's one of the things that inspires me to do this work. A lot of what we do at the Prairie Enthusiasts is about healing. It's about restoring relationship to the land, being one of those relationships. Many of us are broken, have broken our relationship to the land because we live in cities now. We don't know what the prairie really is. We think of it as being the cornfields that we drive past on the freeway. And actually, the prairie is a very different system. So the indigenous people who were here when those Europeans arrived, they were caring for the land for thousands of years, time immemorial is what we say. And they were providing that stewardship on the land as part of the ecosystem. That's something we forget about. We think that humans are the problem in nature, and often we are, but we also are part of the solution. And the prairie is a great example of that. The prairie relies on human stewardship. It relies on those fires being lit. It relies on our protection from invasive species and some of the things that are broken. And so one of the things we're trying to do at the Prairie Enthusiasts is to take steps to heal those relationships also with some of the sovereign nations that are in the region where we're doing our work. So, for example, our last conference took place on Prairie Island in Minnesota, where the tribe took an active role in sharing their wisdom with our community, and we're seeking more ways to build those inroads.
You know, what's really sad is that on a lot of these prairies, and going back to the Native American Indians, there's many plants that they use for creating different medicines. And I remember on a trip to Montana, there's a gentleman there who talked about sagebrush and tumbleweed and the things that Indians did to create medicines made from those plants and those things that we think are just wild weeds that are growing out there, but yet they could be used for medicinal purposes if we only knew how to do it, which they did, and we lost all that.
Yes, but let's not forget that they still hold much of that memory. The wisdom of plants has been passed on within indigenous communities from grandmothers to granddaughters, and it's not fully lost yet. There were methods of traditional harvest that were used on the land that were actually really important to how those landscapes developed. And we have a role to play, I think, in providing access to land for the sovereign nations that are in our region who historically were in relationship to these places and still have a memory for what the plants were and how they were used.
So when it comes to recreation, people are going to say, okay, you've got this land, you're restoring it, you're working on it. Now, how does recreation fit into that whole scheme of things?
Yeah, that's part of our relationship to the land,
okay.
Right?
All right.
So, you know, we think about, I grew up loving nature and visiting state parks and national parks. And there's this dynamic that has happened as I've grown in my own relationship with the Prairie Enthusiasts and our work, where I've gone from someone who receives from nature that restoration that we have when we're in open places and when we're listening to birds and when we're feeling the grass under our feet. I've grown from that person who receives from nature into a person who gets most of my joy from giving back to nature. So we talk about the word reciprocity.
Right.
That, yes, we are receiving from these systems, and we give back out of a sense of responsibility, maybe initially, but you quickly get the spark of enthusiasm, and you see a difference from the effort that you're putting into the place, and it inspires you to keep going. But it starts with providing access to the places. And so, yeah, it's hiking, it's hunting, it's photography, it's the arts. Many people just come to our sites to sit on a bench with a book and journal, reflect.
If you don't think that Deborah's dedicated to this program by listening to her, you're wrong, because just her enthusiasm, if you could see her face, you'd see all the enthusiasm just in her smiles and her joy of what she's doing. You also have recently received a 40-acre parcel that has some rare plants and animals found on it. Is that correct?
We have. I don't know how much you are comfortable with me going into this, Ron, but there's a very generous donor who's sitting next to me today who approached the Prairie Enthusiasts about some land that he had had the privilege to steward with his wife for many years. And his name is Ron Giordano. We are the grateful recipients of 40 acres from Ron and his wife, Darla. And it is just a privilege for us to now be able to say that land is protected forever, and we're going to care for it and love it, I hope, as much as he and Darla have.
I know that property has a lot of sand parcels on it. And what's amazing is the history that you can go back and look at photographs of that land going back to 1939 that shows what the land looked like in 39. I didn't realize those photographs even existed.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look at it and say, this is how it was. Now you can see how it's grown in with weeds or invasive species that you know what to clear out to get back to where it was.
Yeah. So we're going to be returning prescribed fire to that land as one of the tools for how we manage it and restore it. And, you know, think about it. The pictures go back to the 30s, but the European settlers arrived, 75 years before that. Right. What was it like when they came? And all we have there are some scientific records, some surveys that were done, but we also have journals and stories. And pioneers would talk about coming into these places and the wheels of their wagons would be red with the juice from wild strawberries that were growing on the ground. And just think about that for a moment. And now it's difficult to find a wild strawberry anywhere.
Right.
So it's an example of what is possible when we restore the land and the kinds of memories that we can reestablish about what that land is really intended to be.
You know, Jim and I are getting a little nervous because every time Deborah mentions fire, she gets excited, a big smile on her face. So I'm just kind of wondering if that's an omen or something.
But I do think I have the fire gene in my family. Yes, my mother has it. I have it. Yeah, I think.
Do you
want to
tell us about
thing.
The northwest corner of Illinois, the Illinois chapter in the northwest side?
I do. So you know, we are just outside of this area, but an easy day trip. And so there's one site in particular that the Prairie Enthusiast has protected that chapter does some work on that I really want to bring to the attention of your listeners. It's called Hanley Savannah. You can find out about it by visiting our website, theprairieenthusiast.org. There's information there about the chapter. You can check out the calendar and see what's going on in terms of events with the chapter. You can also learn more specifically about that Hanley Savannah site and where it's located and what you can do if you choose to come visit. There's some wonderful educational information there about what the prairie is, what the history of the land is going back thousands of years. But we do have an active chapter in that area. It's a little bit of a distance, maybe for some of your listeners, but for those who are in Joe Davis, Carroll, or Stevenson counties, we're looking for volunteers, and you can get connected to that network through our website.
What are some of the upcoming events that you got going on, Deborah?
So this is maybe going to be of interest for some of your listeners. There's a natural burial event coming up that the chapter is hosting. It's called the Casper Creek Cemetery, and is green burial for you, is the question that we'll be exploring. It's on Sunday, October 1st from 2 to 4 o'clock at the Casper Creek Cemetery in Galena. And it's going to include a walking tour as well as a Q&A session. We ask that people bring your own chair and water, but the event is completely free and open to the public. So maybe that's something some of your listeners may want to explore.
Well, when you talk about the Casper Creek Cemetery in Galena, what are people going to be expecting when they go there? I mean, what would be taking place? Just a tour of the cemetery?
Mm-hmm. Cemeteries are actually, interestingly, a place where some of these native plants have had an opportunity to survive.
Really?
We've discovered a lot of these old pioneer cemeteries were somewhat neglected after the community moved on, and the plants that were there remained. So they can be a source for potentially protecting and restoring some remnant prairie.
Now, see, I think if you told somebody, come to Casper Creek Cemetery in Galena for a tour, they'd say, what are you talking about?
Right. Why
Not knowing that you're looking at all the plants and things that are growing there that have been left for years and years untouched. I know a lot of people go to Galena for what they're noted for, all their different events and things they've got going on, as well as I think General Grant, I believe, is buried there too. But it's interesting that should come up, because that would be the farthest thing from my mind to go visit a cemetery to look at the plants.
Right. Well, the neat thing about natural burial is that there's an opportunity for planting instead of seeing that land maybe just being what we call a monoculture of grass. And many cemeteries are beautiful, very well-kept environments. This is a different style of thinking about how we can sustainably honor our loved ones as they pass on. And one way we can do that is by returning them to the land and the diverse systems that we're a part of.
I believe on your website, too, you also have a video people can watch. Is that correct?
We have a fantastic video. I cannot recommend it enough. Now, this is a half-hour long video. No one does this anymore. We create one-minute long videos. That's our attention span.
Right.
So what I urge people to do is to look that video up online and sit down with a cup of coffee in the morning and start your day with that video and prepare to feel inspired and restored and having learned a lot about our prairie ecosystems.
And I have watched that video, and Deborah's absolutely correct that it's a wonderful video. It really shows you a lot about prairies and what's going on, and it's really very, very interesting. And we want to thank Deborah Behrens, Executive Director of the Prairie Enthusiasts, for being here today and telling us all about what's taking place and how we're saving the land. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We thank you for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed the show. We'll see you again next time. Thank you.